Good morning, good morning, good morning. How many of you excited to be here to celebrate the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you are blessed by the worship team? I want you to give them a big hand. This is our fifth service. So this is service number 5. I know you walked in here, but these folks have been up here for 5 times. And we have just had the most blessed weekend we've ever had here at the church. And I just want to thank the Lord for his goodness. Can we do that? We want to thank the Lord. I want to thank you for being here. You know, there are many mysteries. You know, there's a lot of mysteries in life that will probably never be solved. You do know that, don't you? For example, there is a mystery called Sasquatch. Sasquatch is a big-footed creature that roams out into the forest. So don't ever go out into the forest. Now, I've actually seen him a couple of times across the street at Walmart. I just want you to know. He might be over there. And then whatever happened to Amelia Earhart? She was the first female to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. And on July the 2nd, 1937, her plane disappeared as she was attempting to fly around the entire globe. And to this day, it's an unsolved mystery. And what about the Kennedy assassination, November 22nd, 1963? Daily Plaza in downtown Dallas-Fort Worth. Were there multiple gunmen, or did Lee Harvey Oswald act alone? It's an unsolved mystery. Here's another unsolved mystery. I don't know if you know this, the fruitcake. Does anyone actually know what's inside a fruitcake? I don't think so. As I said, there will always be unsolved mysteries, but for Christians here today and all around the world, there is no mystery because we know that Jesus is no longer in that grave. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I want you to take your Bibles today, if you have your Bibles, and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And inside your bulletin, there are some sermon notes inside, and we always, every weekend, if you're a guest here, we always hand out an outline as we teach through the scriptures. And I want to speak to you today on the subject of roll that stone away. Roll that stone away. I was going to call this sermon the Rolling Stone, but I opted for roll that stone away. I want to talk to you about that stone or that large rock on that first Easter that had been placed over the entrance of the tomb where Jesus had been buried for 3 days according to the scriptures. I have a slide that I want to put up on the screen. These are 4 verses written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were eyewitnesses. I want you to say eyewitnesses. They were eyewitnesses to the events of that day. They were there. And here's what they recorded, what they saw. Matthew tells us that there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Mark tells us that when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Luke records that they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And John writes, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now, this is not fake news. This is not misinformation or disinformation. It's not a hoax. These are eyewitness accounts that reported that the stone had been rolled away. Now, there is nothing more lifeless than a stone. A stone cannot breathe. A stone does not have a heartbeat. A stone does not grow. It is nothing but dead weight, or what we would call an immovable object. Now, the stone in Matthew 28 that was rolled away in many ways represents barriers that keep us away from new life, the life that God has called us to live. It represents an obstacle that has you stuck. It's a blockade that stands between you and Jesus. And there are many things that keep you from Jesus. That stone could represent an addiction, or alcohol, or pornography, or an unhealthy relationship, or an attachment to someone who's leading you away from God. Maybe it's an obsession with social media or the relentless chase for wealth and status. But whatever the stone is, the thing that keeps you from new life, it needs to be rolled away. Anything that has you entombed, anything that has you locked up, anything that has you feeling defeated, anything that has you feeling imprisoned needs to be rolled away. Can someone say amen? I want you to grab your pen, your outline, your Bible. I want you to grab your mind today. And I want you to grab hold of these three truths. Number one, get this, God can roll any stone away. God can roll any stone away. This is the idea that God is all-knowing, that nothing happens that God doesn't know about it, and that God is all-powerful. There's nothing that God cannot do. Nothing scares God. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he can roll any stone away. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, that God holds the entire universe in the palm of his hand. Now, I can hold a bottle of water in my hand, and that's about it. God not only holds an ocean in his hand, the Bible says that God owns he holds the entire universe in the palm of his hand. Psalm 147 verse 4 says that God knows the number of stars and he knows every one of them, each of them by their name. If I ask you to name a couple of stars, you could probably name two or three at most. God looks up, he sees those stars, he can name every star by name. Matthew chapter 10 tells us that a sparrow does not fall to the ground without his notice. He sees every tear, he knows your every heartache. He is all-seeing, he's all-knowing, he is all-powerful. Now we read about the resurrection story in Matthew chapter 28, but the chapter before, in Matthew chapter 27, we learn that Jesus had died the horrible death of crucifixion. His life ended as he was literally being suffocated to death. His heart stopped beating as he utters the words, "It is finished." And according to John 19, verse 34, there was a Roman soldier who came along while Jesus was on the cross, and he took this spear and he thrust it into Jesus' side, up into his heart, just to be sure that he was dead. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse 60, they take Jesus' body down off the cross, and they put him in a tomb, and they roll this large stone over the opening of that tomb. Now, you may or may not know this, but according to Jewish practice in the first century, it was common after a man died to be laid in a tomb for one purpose, and that was to allow his body to decay. There was nothing unusual about that. A dead man placed in a tomb, and often they would roll a stone across the entrance to prevent the smell of decay from escaping. That was common. And about a year later, they would roll that stone away and they would collect the bones and put the bones in what's called a bone box so that the tomb could be used again for another corpse. That was common practice. But in Jesus's case, the Romans were fearful, and the political leaders were fearful, and the religious leaders were fearful that someone would steal Jesus's body and just say that he was resurrected. Even then, they were worried what's called first century propaganda. It existed. Here's how the Bible reads in Matthew 27. They went to Pilate and they said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people, and then we'll have to ban him from Twitter, and that he's been raised from the dead. And the last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone, and they posted the guard. So nobody was getting out of that tomb. And here's how the story reads in Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, everybody say after the Sabbath. The Bible reads, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And here's what happened. There was this violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone, and then he just sat on it. And I can just see that angel sitting up there with his feet dangling over the stone. Like if this was today, he would have taken a selfie and he would have posted it on Instagram. I know he would have. The Bible says his appearance was like lightning, his clothes were white as snow, and the guards, these big tough Roman guards, were so afraid that they shook and they became like dead men. This reminds me of a more current, modern story from the 1980s. Germany was divided west from the east with a stone wall. West Berlin was underneath the influence of the Allied forces, and East Berlin and East Germany was under Soviet Union control. And there was a wall, a stone wall that divided east from west. And on June the 12th, 1987, President Ronald Reagan, against his advisor's wishes, he stood at the Brandenburg Gate and he said these words, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And that wall came down. And if you don't believe that, you can go out to Simi Valley. Some of it's out there at the Ronald Reagan Library. See for yourself. Far greater than that wall is another barrier, also made of stone. It was a stone rock that held Jesus in a lifeless tomb. That stone sealed in death. That stone sealed in darkness. That stone sealed in a decomposing body. And God turns to one of his angels and says, Mr. Angel, roll that stone away. And the sky thundered, the earth shook, heaven watched, Satan trembled, and the angel obeyed. And like a feather blowing in the wind, that stone was rolled away. And you know what that tells me? That God is greater than any problem you have. You see that stone rolling away? That just tells you that our God is greater than any problem you have. I want to take a survey in here today. This looks like a cross-section of America, although you all do live in left-leaning liberal California, the land of the fruit and the nuts, mostly nuts. It's where we live, isn't it? But you kind of represent America here today, and I just want to do a survey here. How many of you, be honest, don't raise your hand if you don't believe, it's not a concern to you. How many of you are somewhat concerned about the moral direction of our country, the country in which we live? You're concerned about it. Look around. How many of you are heartbroken over what's happening in Ukraine today? When you see what's going on over there, it's heartbreaking. How many of you are worried about inflation and the rising cost of gasoline? Raise your hand if that concerns you. I bought a new car this week. Gas is so expensive, I had to buy a new car. Now, I did not buy an electric car. There's nothing wrong with electric car. I just didn't buy that. I went over to Galpin Ford. It's the number one most sold car at Galpin Ford, and I went over and picked one up this week. I want to show you a picture of the car I bought this week. That's my new ride. Excellent gas mileage. I just want you to know that we all have problems. And we will always have problems. But when I look at the story of the resurrection, I have to ask myself, which is the greater miracle? Which miracle is more difficult? Rolling a stone away or bringing a dead man back to life? Which of those two miracles is more difficult? Rolling a stone away or a dead man coming back to life? You know the answer to that question?
Both.
Neither is difficult for God. For God is the creator of the universe. He created the heavens and the earth. He spoke and created the heavens. He spoke and created the earth. He spoke and he said to the winds and the waves, be still, and they were. He parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could walk across on dry ground. He touched the eyes of the blind man so he could see. Colossians 1:16 tells us that all things were created by God, for God, things in heaven, things on earth, things visible and things invisible. So he turns to an angel and he says to the angel, roll that stone away. And like that, the stone was rolled away, proving that God is greater than any problem we face, and God can roll any stone away that you need rolled away. Number two, write this down. Write this down, number two. The stone, that stone in Matthew 28 that was rolled away for you. It wasn't for him. It was for you. I want you to look at what the Bible says. In Matthew 28, verse 5, that angel said to the women, do not be afraid. The women were tougher than the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers were over there stuck like dead men. The women are walking around looking at things. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He did die. He was crucified. He was hung on that cross. That soldier did place that spear through his side. He died. He was buried. He was crucified. I know you're here looking for him. And then the angel said this to these two ladies, he's not here. He has risen just as he said. And then the angel said this, watch. The angel said, come and see where he lay. Listen, get this. Jesus didn't need the stone removed so he could walk out. Jesus could walk through walls. He could have walked out of that tomb with that stone still in place. The stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so you could look inside and see that he was no longer there. Now, this is a supernatural event. You do know that. And miracles come in all different kinds of shapes and sizes. I want you to write this down quickly. Some miracles are physical in nature, and some miracles are spiritual in nature. Some miracles are just something physically that happens that only God can do. Some miracles are spiritual. Some miracles are both. Now, in this story, physically, I'm talking about physically, Jesus' body has been in that tomb for 3 days. His blood is not going through his veins. There is no twitching of an eye. There are no brain waves. His body is decaying. Physically, biologically, a miracle takes place in his body. His body comes back to life. God raises him from the dead. He's alive. Now, he's still inside the tomb, but now he's alive. So then there's another miracle, another physical miracle. Then God rolls a stone away. It's an amazing miracle, but it's a physical miracle. But far greater is the spiritual significance of that event. that Jesus conquered the grave so that one day you can conquer your grave and live for all of eternity. Jesus said this in John 6:40. He said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, S-O-N, and believes in him shall have eternal life." That's a spiritual miracle. You shall have eternal life. Oh, and I will raise you up on that last day, the resurrection. When Jesus conquered the grave, the miracle is all about you one day conquering your grave. It's not that he's going to get you out of the grave so that you can live like three more years on this earth until something else gets you. No, he's going to raise you up from that grave so that you can live for all of eternity. And here's the deal. One day, everybody say one day. One day will be your last day on this earth. One day. Now, if you didn't die the last 2 years of COVID, and look around this room, everybody here, you survived COVID. You didn't die. A lot of people did die. You didn't die. I have some good friends that died of COVID. Now, if you didn't die of COVID, you got through the last 2 years. Oh, I'm happy for you. But don't walk around going, "Hey, I survived COVID," because if COVID didn't get you, something else is going to get you. Because everyone in this room, one day you're going to die, and here's what's going to happen when you die. They're going to take you, they're going to put you in a casket, and they're going to lower you in the grave. They're going to put a grave marker there, and on your grave marker, it's going to have the date of your birth, a dash, and the date of your death. And just so you know, the Bible says that before you were ever conceived, not after you were conceived, before you were conceived, God knew the day of your birth and the day of your death. And you really, trust me, you don't need to worry about either one of those two dates. What you need to worry about is that dash, how you live your life. And if you're lucky, they're going to put like 5 or 6 words on your grave marker that explains your whole life. Some people put funny things on their grave marker. Did you know that? Someone put this on their grave marker. They actually did this. Someone else put this on their grave marker. I was hoping for a pyramid. Well, that'd be kind of cool if they put a big pyramid over you, wouldn't it? Someone wrote this: "Here lies an atheist all dressed up and no place to go." Someone put this on their grave marker: "I'd rather be in Acapulco." And I love what Rodney Dangerfield here in Hollywood, he died, he buried, they put this on his grave marker: "There goes the neighborhood." You know, you live your life, you look back over the last 10 years, it looks like, it goes by like that. 10 years is like that. You know, if you're 30 or 40 years old here today, you've done like 3 or 4 snaps. And if you're old like me, you know, you got 6 or 7 snaps in you. And like if you live really, really long, you got 8 or 9 snaps. But life is but a snap. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. You're here one moment and then you're gone. Let me tell you, death is your greatest problem. But because Jesus conquered the grave, yes, supernaturally, yes, physically, yes, biologically, yes, spiritually, when he came out of that grave, listen, it wasn't for him, it was for you, because he wanted to give you everlasting life. And I will tell you this, I'm going to take the time to do this. Let me tell you how it's going to go down. Some of you need to read this, because here's how it's going to go down. Are you ready? Are you ready? "Brothers, Everybody say brothers. And you can say sisters. Say sisters. We do not want you, I'm going to read this fast. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. When you see fall asleep, he's not talking about people who fall asleep in church. He's talking about people who, this is a polite way to say people who have croaked. They've died. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have died or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and that he rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, those who have died, but they died as Christians. They died as believers. Verse 15 says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, we certainly will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So if you're alive when the Lord comes back, you're going to get to see this. All the people that you know, that you love, that have passed away, that were believers, and when the Lord comes back and you're still alive, you're going to get to see all the cemeteries open up and those believers come back to life. And verse 17 says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will be with the Lord forever. Number three, quickly, write this down. That stone that was rolled away, it's just a glimpse of what God has in store for you. I see that stone rolling away, and it like gives me chills. Woo! This is like big stuff. But it's really from a God who raises the dead, a God who can bring eternal life. When he rolls that stone away, it's only a glimpse of what is to come. It's like a thimble compared to the vastness of an ocean. It's like seeing a gopher hole compared to the Grand Canyon. That stone rolling away is only a snapshot of all the heavenly blessings that God has in store for you. Over in John chapter 14, Jesus is with his disciples, and he's basically explaining to them that he's going to die, that he's going to be buried. And they're like freaking out because they love Jesus. And Jesus is explaining, hey, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna be buried, I'm gonna resurrect, and I'm leaving you guys. You won't see me anymore. And they're like freaking out. And Jesus says, this is my own translation, he goes, hey, have you ever been to a funeral and someone died and you're just heartbroken because you think you're never going to see him again? You just kind of freak. Jesus says, stop freaking out. That's my translation. Here's what the Bible says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Then he says this. In my Father's house, this is up in heaven, are many what? Many rooms up there. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he said, I'm going there. I know you guys are freaking out because I'm leaving. I'm going to die. But don't freak out. You wonder where I am? I'm going to be up in heaven in my Father's house. I'm going, there's a lot of rooms up there. I'm going up there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare this place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. So Jesus dies, they put him in the tomb. Disciples think, they think that's the end. On the third day, he resurrects, and after the resurrection, he goes back in heaven. So Jesus is gone. So where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Right? Well, he's up in heaven. Well, what's he doing? Well, he's preparing your heavenly home. I want you to write this down in your notes. Write this down. This whole stone stuff rolling away, it's not just about getting you out of your grave. It's about him giving you a heavenly home. My mom just drove down from Fresno from, she's 90 years old, and she never comes down to see us, but she came down to see the Passion Play last week. And so we had to get a room ready because we're empty nesters. So ain't nobody been sleeping in that room. We had to get the room ready for her. So we took like several days. And when I say we, I'm talking about my wife did. So, you know, we got the room ready to make the bed. We cleaned it, dusted everything up. And then we put a little trash can there. And I said, honey, get a little cord so she can charge her phone. She might want to charge her phone. We put a little nightstand there. And then my wife put a little basket full of chocolate candies there by the bed. And because we got the room prepared. My mom came down. She stayed like one night and left. The next morning, we went into the room. We found that she had opened up some, that we found some chocolate wrappers in the trash. I mean, she only has maybe half a snap left. She's 90. She's in that room eating chocolate. She should eat as much chocolate as she wants. Can someone say amen? Jesus has been gone. He's been up there preparing our heavenly home. Listen, think about this. The earth that we're on right now, he created in 6 days. Everything that you see, 6 days. The ocean, the mountains, Yosemite, the valleys, the forests, the trees, the flowers, the birds, the sun, the moon, the stars. He created all of that in 6 days for your earthly home. He's been up in heaven working on your heavenly home for 2,000 years. All I want you to know, it's going to be a nice place. It's going to be a nice place. You are worrying about stuff on this earth. Heaven's going to be so far greater. I want you to look at this verse, and I'll wrap this up. You know the way, the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know how to get there? Jesus answered with these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. I want you to write this down quickly. Easter is not just freeing you from death. And I know that you don't want to die and you want to be freed from death. But he is providing you a way. Circle the word way. Easter is all about God providing you a way to heaven. Revelation 21:4. When you get to heaven, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more. I want you to say no more. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, crying, or pain. Some of you need to get a piece of paper out and start writing it down on your no more list, the things that will not be in heaven when you get up there. There'll be no more hand sanitizer. No more masks. No more vaccines. No more quarantines. No viruses. No ventilators. There'll be no more Zoom calls. No more traffic. No more taxes. No more spandex. There'll be no more school shootings. There'll be no more abortions. There'll be no more addictions. There'll be no more chemotherapy and no more radiation. No more love handles. No more war. No more cemeteries, no more ambulances, no more funerals, no more caskets, no more death, no more hospitals. There'll be no more suffering, no more suicides. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more sicknesses. There'll be no more goodbyes, no more sorrow, no more pain. The Bible says that no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no mind has ever conceived of what God has prepared for those love him. In closing, I want you to write this down. Some of you need to come to the only one who can change your heart of stone. Some of you have stone hearts. What does that mean to have a heart of stone? Well, it just means that your heart is hard. It's like, through sin and through indifference, you've been ignoring God, you've been denying God, you've not been living for God because your heart is hard. Your heart is hard like a rock. You're not even concerned about the things of God. Oh, you're concerned about a lot of things, but you're not concerned about the things of God because your heart is like a heart of stone. And I want you to know that there is nothing you can do to change a heart stone, because only the God who created the heavens and the earth that has the power to roll a stone away on Easter morning, only a God like that is a God who can change a heart of stone. Ezekiel said, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you and I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What does that mean? It means that only God in heaven can change your heart. There's nothing you can do to change your heart. You need a surgeon, a spiritual surgeon. And only Jesus can change a man's heart. Only Jesus. There was this minister over in Italy, and he was looking at a cemetery. And over in Europe, they have cemeteries where people have been buried for hundreds of years. And he was looking at different grave markers, and he came across a man who had been buried who was not a Christian. And the man did not believe in the resurrection. He was actually afraid of the resurrection because he knew that he had never lived his life for God, and so he was afraid if there was such a thing as a resurrection that one day he'd have to stand before God. So he just decided he did not believe in resurrections is what he just decided. And so he gave instructions when he was buried that over his grave plot to put a huge thick stone cement slab on top of his burial plot. So just in case there was a resurrection that he couldn't get out. And then he had engraved on this cement slab these words. He wrote, I do not want to be resurrected. I do not believe in it. Well, he had been in that grave for over 100 years, but somewhere along the way, an acorn had fallen into that burial plot before they covered him up. And now there was this huge oak tree that had burst through that cement slab. And as this minister walks up and he sees this, he asks this question. If an acorn, which does have biological life in it, can split a slab of that magnitude. Just imagine what an acorn of God's resurrection power can do in someone's life. Oh, that's a good question. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. I'm going to have a final word of prayer and you'll be dismissed. Amen? Don't leave before the prayer. Don't leave before the prayer. I want you to look over here to my left. There's a baptistry. And to the right of that baptistry are some chairs or some doors over there. And when I'm finished praying, if you're here today, and maybe you just feel like you need to make a decision today to give your life to the Lord, I want you to make your way through the crowd and just go over to those doors. We have what's called decision counselors. These are people that are there to pray, to talk with you, and to walk you through that decision. If you've never been baptized, you could be baptized this Easter morning. If you need to rededicate your life, you come and rededicate your life. If you have a prayer need or a prayer request and you just want someone here to pray with you before you leave, make your way over there. They'll pray with you. But if you're here today and you have a heart of stone, you have a heart of stone. You've rejected God. You've rejected His word. You've rejected His truth. Maybe there was something that happened here today. Maybe it was the music. Maybe it was the scripture that was read. Maybe it was the sermon. Maybe it was the Spirit of God that has begun to work in your life and has begun to break that heart of stone. And today you want to come and just put your faith and trust in Jesus and let Him give you everlasting life and the assurance that one day, on that last day, that He will raise you up. And when the Lord Christ returns, He will gather His church and He will take us to go and be with Him forever and ever. And maybe when you walked in here today, you weren't sure you were going to be in that number. And today, Easter morning, 2022, you say, Pastor, I want to make sure that I'm in that number that day, riding those clouds with those who've gone before us to go and be in the presence of God and to move in to that heavenly dwelling home. Amen. If that's your decision, just go over there to those doors as soon as I'm done praying. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. God, thank you for today. Oh, we've had a great weekend here at Shepherd Church. And Lord, we look at the resurrection and we think about that stone being rolled away. And it's such an important truth because Jesus did die on that cross for the atonement of our sins. He was buried. He was taken off that cross and He was buried. And 3 days later, He conquered that grave, giving each of us, if we put our faith and trust in Him, the assurance of everlasting life. We no longer need to grieve without hope because our hope is in Him. And Lord, I pray for any man, any woman, any boy, and any girl who's here. I pray that you would open up their eyes, open up their heart, help them to receive the truth of your word here today. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for providing for us, meeting our every needs. I ask, God, that you would bring us back safely. Until then, may we honor you in all that we do and say as we wait for your return. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you and thank you for coming to church today.